Okay, so I'd like to cover today, hopefully, a Ramban and hopefully a Kli Yakar. The truth is, they aren't connected to each other, so we could, anyway, have a choice? Ramban or Kli Yakar, which one goes first? All right, well, the Ramban is first in terms of the order of Psukim, so we'll cover that one first. So the Ramban tells us, so we're in Perek Aleph, Pasuk Chav Tes. For those of you using the red Humashim, it is on page Memdalad and Memhei. So really on Memhei, the Ramban is found on Memhei. Right? You see, there's Ramban is the about an inch down. And you got it. If you're not using the red Chumashin, you got it. Okay. Perek Aleph Pasuk Chav Tes. Here's the Ramban. Okay, so the psukim here are describing the Hashem created man, right? Pasuk of Zion was Zachar Nekivah Barah. Some male and female created them. Hashem gave them a bracha and said, "You're going to be fruitful and multiply, and you're going to cover the entire land, and you're going to go, you're going to plumb the depths of the sea, and to the fish of the sea, and to the birds of the heaven, of all the animals that are on the land." Right? So Hashem says, you're going to be in charge of all of the animals. And then, in Pasuk Chav Tes, so what would I think that would mean that it would be in charge, at first glance, even though we made reference to this last week, what should that mean that I'm in charge? Means that I should be able to eat them, right? That should be able to be my sustenance. However, then in Pasuk Chav Tes, the Pasuk actually gets to discussing food. And by Yomer Elokim, and God said, "Ina asati lachem es kol esav zorei zara asher al pnei hakol aretz, veis kol esav asher bo pri eitz zorei zara, lachem yeh lachla." Hashem says, now I've given you all of the herbs, or that lay seeds, that's on the land, and all of the trees that have fruit, and that's what's going to be for you to eat. Implying what? That the animals that you're in charge of is not going to be something that you're going to be allowed to eat. So even if you're looking at the copied page, I think you still have the Sforno on the right side of the page. On page Memdal, there is a Sforno. So Sforno quickly has to jump in and say, so what does it mean that you're in charge if you're not allowed to eat them? So the Sforno says, that you're going to shetaginu v'sichalchem, that you're going to protect them in your area. V'timnu es hachayos shul yichnesu b'gvuleichem. Then you're going to keep the animals from entering your territory. V'atemtim shulubam, and you're going to be in charge. Urdu v'mitsudim v'charamim l'achniyim l'avodoschem. You're going to then go and capture them into your nets, and you're going to use them for your own work. I mean, you could have them work for you, but at least at this point, you're not going to be able to eat them. So why are you not able to eat them? What was wrong with being able to eat the animals? So the Ramban tells us in Chav Tes, "Hinei nasati lachem es kol esav zorei zara." Right? You see where we are? Okay. Lo hirsha ha'la'adam uli ishto lahamis berei v'lechol basar. Right? That it wasn't given to man and to his wife to lahamis brei, to cause death to a creation, v'le'achol basar, to eat the meat, ach kol yerek esav yuchlu yachdav kulam, right? But just all vegetables is what they're going to eat. V'chashavo b'nei Noach itil ham basar, and then when Noach comes along, they give him he's allowed to eat. And the Ramban in that first paragraph, this is good, this addition, right, divides the Ramban into paragraphs, and that's really what Rashi comments on. It's really based on the Gemara in Sanhedrin, that the Gemara there in Sanhedrin is talking about the end of the story of Noach, where Hashem explicitly allows Noach to eat meat. So the Gemara there is saying that, yeah, Noach was allowed to eat meat, but anybody before Noach was not permitted to eat meat. Okay? So, everybody was on the same playing field, at least according to Rashi, in terms of eating all the vegetation, right? They were all allowed to eat the vegetables, they were allowed to eat the fruit, etc. And the Ramban then takes issue with that. The Ramban then says, "Ve'enokein." He says, however, I don't believe that to be the case. Rather,
Aval nasan la'adam uli'ishto kol esav zareya zera uluchol priyet. Rather, to man was given all of the seeds and all of the fruit. That man was able to eat that. Ulechayasa aretz ule'of hashamayim. But to the animals of the field and to the birds of the sky, nasan kol yerek esav, he was given all the vegetables, lo priya eats v'lo azrayim. They ate the vegetables, but not the fruit, and not the zrayim, not the seeds. I mean, they never had the same food. That man ate fruit, man ate seeds. I think what he means by that is like the wheat kernels. I mean, man was able to eat the wheat kernels, while they were only able to eat things that grew directly from the ground. They weren't eating the same thing. He says, however, the Ramban says though, but the meat was not permitted to man. I mean, man was never on the same level as the animals. They were always eating different types of food. So Ramban continues and says, "Vayazeh, why should that be? Bifnei shebali nefesh hatenua yeshlem tzas mala benafsham. Because animals do have a step up on vegetation, right? Nidmu bal bali nefesh hamaskelos, because they do have some amount of understanding. Vayeshlem bechira, they have choice." B'tovasim uv'monosam, for things for their own good, and with regards to their food. V'yivrachu min hatzar v'hamisa, and they have the ability to run away from danger, and they have the ability to run away from death. Right? Vegetables don't have the ability to run away from death. Right? I remember one time I went skiing in Colorado, in Vail. It was a cold day, and we're going up, if anyone's been to Vail, so there's the back bowls, there's the... Right, and it's above the tree line, so there's no trees anywhere, except there's like this one nebuch tree that's like laying out there, that's out like in the middle of the, it must be like the top tree of the mountain. I remember looking at this tree wondering like, wow, that tree is so cold. It doesn't go anyway, it's just out there for the elements and nothing, you know. So trees don't have that type of bechira to run away and figure out what would be a better situation for them. They're there, right? Right, and the pasuk is telling us who knows the spirit of man, how great the spirit of man is. And the spirit of the animals are a little bit less. So what changed? Why is it that the man then was able to eat the animals? So the Rabbana continues on and says, "V'chasher chatu." Right, when they sinned, who sinned? Who's it referring to? Who's the sin? Animals sinned, right? He quotes the pasuk in Noach, "V'yishchis kol basar estarko ala aretz." Right, all of the meat, then everybody messed up. It wasn't just Noach, it wasn't just the generation of Noach that was immoral, but even the animals were immoral during that time. In fact, there's a whole pshat as to, I believe, from the Tiferes Yisrael. That's where dinosaur bones came from, because the animals interbreeded with one another. Because their immorality was so rampant that it had an impact on the animals. The animals interbreeded with one another, and that's what caused these mutants that we call dinosaurs, right? That's what the Pharisee Yisrael writing in the 1800s, that's what he writes. So, v'nigzer sheyamusu b'mavo, uvavur Noach hitzil mehem l'kiyum hamin, right? But Noach was able to save them. So nasan lahem rishus lishkos v'lechol. So therefore, Noach was given rishus in order to kill them, ki kiyumam ba'aviro, because their whole ability to live is based on was because of Noach. Right. So that gives the explanation that on the sixth day of creation, man was in charge of animals. They were in charge of animals in order to get them to work for him, but they weren't allowed to eat them. Man was distinct from animals in terms of what they ate. Right, the food was different, but man was not able to eat animals. Why? Because animals are considered a higher level than vegetation, because they do have some amount of bechira, they have the ability of choice. And I think, as we pointed out last week, that's what Tselem Elokim means, the idea of having free choice. But man is above animals, and then when animals sinned, so to speak, during the generation of Noah, so man was elevated to a higher level over animals, higher amount of dominion over animals, in that they were able to use the animals for their food. Okay.
When did animals become
carnivores? Yeah, I was wondering about that. I was wondering about a few things. I was wondering about A, how did animals kill their animals, right? Why was that allowed? Was that in this period? I wasn't sure. And then the other thing I was wondering about is, so was man allowed to eat fish? What about fish? What about chicken? What about birds? Because technically, we paskin, everybody agrees that fish are not, you know, that's not meat. You eat bagels and lox, right? So with cream cheese, right? So they're not considered meat. And birds also, even though we shecht birds and we wait, we don't eat birds with meat, with milk, that we assume is only on the level of the rabbanim. That while meat and milk is an issa d'oraisa, birds are only a rabbinic idea, and even shechting birds is probably only a iser, is only a mitzvah d'rabbanan, not a mitzvah d'oraisa. So, was man allowed to eat them? So I quickly did a little Google search, but I might have erased it though. Let's see. So I took a quick search, and oh, I still have it here. Right, I Googled the words, did Adam eat fish? That was the word, and I came across this yeshiva.co, a comment by Rabbi Jonathan Blass. Question, Rashi tells us that Adam Rishon was not allowed to eat meat. Was the Yisr only for animals that need shechita? Was Adam allowed to eat fish? How could Adam, Havel, and Noach bring korbanos if killing animals was not allowed? That's another question. So he explains, he quotes from the Gemara in Sanhedrin that, you know, that we don't, that they weren't eating animals before, and the Gemara, the continuation of the Gemara, explicitly mentions that fish and fowl were included in the prohibition, that they didn't eat fish and birds during that time either. Right, I would have looked up the Gemara, but you know, Harry Greenspan had me teaching Sota this morning also. Tosfos there is of the opinion that the prohibition was to kill an animal and eat it. Man was forbidden to eat an animal found dead. Although not all Rishonim share that opinion. Man was able to eat nevela, we refer to it as nevela, you just weren't allowed to kill it. Fine. It was, however, permitted to kill an animal for the purpose of a korban, even if part of the korban was to be eaten. That's what the commentator on the Sanhedrin, the Margolios Ayam, says. There's a question in the Talmud that all sacrifices until Yaakov were burnt, though, that were not eaten, meaning until the time they only brought olos, they didn't bring chatos. That's a whole shira to itself. So in that case, there shouldn't have been anything to eat from the korbanos anyways. So what's the question we're talking about? So anyways, that's the discussion found at yeshiva.org.il, the Torah World Gateway. Yeah, so you got it.
The animals we eat are not carnivores.
We don't eat any carnivores. Is that true?
The animals we eat are
they're all herbivores.
They're all herbivores. They only eat grasses and grains. Sheep don't eat meat. Cows don't eat meat.
Well, they do, but they
goats do not eat meat. They're all grazers.
Right, right. They're not supposed to. Calves eat meat. We at least the feed is meat. That was a whole.
Yeah, sometime when that's how this mad cow disease got started. They were grinding up animal parts and mixing them with the cattle feed.
Yeah, all right. This famous Far Side cartoon. You see these chickens like huddled around, and one of them, like, they seem to be eating a chicken. That's the story.
Chickens will attack other chickens.
Oh, so they're sitting there eating a chicken, and one guy's like, it tastes kind of like beef.
If chickens see blood, they go after it. Like, another chicken is wounded, they will
uh-huh.
kill
him. All right. Okay, so that is the Ramban on the history of what was being eaten those days. I'd like to go, you could turn to the back of the page. All those using the red, you'll turn a page to the Kli Yakar. Pasuk Lamed Aleph. So I think we touched on this Kli Yakar the other day, but we'll see it. We'll see it inside. Pasuk Lamed Aleph, the bottom left of the page on Mem Zayin. Right. So he says, "Vayar Elohim es kol asher asah v'nei tov ma'od." Hashem saw all that he did, and it was very good. Vayar v'ayboker yom hashishi. So the Kli Yakar picks up on two interesting things. Number one is we haven't seen anywhere in this parak anything we can refer to as tov ma'od. And we also haven't, every other day is Yom Echad, Yom Sheni, Yom Shlishi, Yom Revi. Why is this Yom HaShishi? What is being added by that hey? So Rashi actually added in had two pshatim on that, right? Rashi added in, A, that HaShishi is the conclusion of the, that that the whole Maisa Bereishis was contingent on accepting the Chamishei Chumshei Torah, the five books of the Torah. And the other idea is that Yom HaShishi, the sixth day, that it was all contingent on the sixth day of Sivan. What happened on the sixth day of Sivan? Right, that was Kabbalah Satorah. That was the acceptance of the Torah. So both are the same theme, right? That the idea of the idea of Baisa Bereishis is contingent on that the Torah be accepted. So the Kli Yakar explains this a little bit more clearly, and he says, "Afal Pishakfar Hisker Kitov Bitsiris Kol Yom Vayom." Even though every day it mentioned Mikol Makom Choser Kan VaAmar Vinei Tov Achar Yitzias HaAdam, that even though every day it said Kitov, here it goes back and says Tov after the creation of man. Why? Lahodo Shekol HaNivrim HaKodmin Lo Nivru Kim Bavor Adam. To tell you that really everything, all of the Kitovs along the way, was only for the purpose of creating man. And even though it said Kitov along the way, that was all on the future. Right, but it hadn't yet fulfilled its goodness until man was created, and only at that point could the comment be Vinei Tov Ma'od, because it was kind of completed with the completion of man. And then the Kli Yakar continues on and says, and that would also be the difference between Ki Tov and Vihinei Tov Ma'od. Right, the second paragraph says, because Ki is a language of being Mesupak, is a language of being doubtful. Vayne ki tov, yeah, ki, it's probably good. It was good by itself, but it's still a doubt as to whether it's going to be sustained. But vihine is a vadai, vihine is a certainty. So ki tov, but now with the creation of man, all of the conditions for its fulfillment have now been met, and now it's going to be permanent. And then in the third paragraph down, it says Virazal. Virazal stands for V'rabbanim Zichronam Lebracha. The same thing that Chazal stand for, right? Chachamim Zichronam Lebracha. I remember once being very young and hearing a rabbi, actually my uncle, talk about Chazal, Chazal, Chazal. And I remember asking my father, why does he keep quoting this guy Chazal? And my father said, well, there's no one else to quote. Said, what do you mean? There's Rashi, there's the Ramban. What do you mean there's no one else to quote? No. Okay. Anyways, so it says in the Medrash, Sheya Kadosh Baruch Hu mitochach im hamalachim, that Hashem was having this fight with the malachim, im livro esa adam alo, right? Should we create man or should we not bother creating man? V'ilu ha'ya hadin nosin shelo livro esa adam, ha'yimitzias kol hakodmin levatala. Right, and if the angels would have won the fight, right, the angels would have won the argument, so then the rest of the creations would have been levatala as a waste. Therefore, it says kitov hamoral asafik. Therefore, it keeps saying kitov. So it talks about that doubt. Aval kishin nivra adam. But when man was created, as nasu vaday, it was made a certainty. Tov, right? Nasu vaday tov. Lekach demar is kol asher asa vinei tov. Therefore, it says based on everything that was done, Hineto, behold, it was good, right? Because it is going back on the time before the creation of man, when we weren't really sure, and all of those things we see retroactively were really good. Now, of course, what creation is lacking Kitov, famously lacking Kitov, right? By man, it doesn't say Kitov, right? Man, it doesn't talk about man in the context of being Kitov, right? It's only at the end when it says Vinei Tov Ma'od. So why is that? So that many commentators say because man was not born perfect. Meanwhile, all of the creations are born in its so to speak final state. Man is not created in its final state. Man has what to grow. Man has a requirement over their lifetime to grow. Fine. So then we go to the next paragraph. He says, "V'yesh lefarish od k'mashal hamaychal baser v'dagim." Right? By eating fish and meat is not permitted. Why? Shkol echa b'fnei atzmo tov. Aval im yisarvu yiskalkalu. Right? When it comes to meat and fish, that each one by itself is good, but if you mix them together, that could be a problem. What's that referring to? Mixing fish and meat together, what's that referring to? Right, that's referring to our practice, that we don't eat fish and meat together. right? So we don't eat, apparently, right? He's assuming eating fish and meat together is considered dangerous, unhealthy. Sakanta, that's what the Gemara says, it's a danger, right? Rav Shechter likes to point out that, yeah, it's dangerous to eat fish and meat. It's also dangerous to eat a lot of jelly beans, but everybody seems to not have a problem eating a lot of jelly beans, right? We should be nervous about that, just like we're nervous about eating fish and meat. Okay. Aval elu hanivrim, but those that were created, lo zu hayat tovim kol echa bifnei atzmo, el afil b'tzirufim yachad kulam hayu gam kein tovim. But in terms of creation, so even though each one was just good by itself, when they're mixed together, they were going to be good. V'zeh sh'amar, kol asher asa v'nei tov mod. Everything was done, and behold, it was good. And then the Kli Yakar continues on and says, we have a few more minutes, Yom HaShishi, so that explains what's the addition of the hay, right? And he quotes the same idea of Rashi, as the hay is a reference to the Torah. And then he says at the, oh, yeah, that's all you guys have. So I will continue outside. You guys, the Chumash people have it. V'tamo, right? And the reason being, right? Why? What is the story? Why is it that why all of creation is contingent on the giving of the Torah? Right? Why is it, oh, the Torah had to be given, the world is only going to survive because you have the five books of the Torah. Or because you have Vav Sivan. So why is that? So the Kli Yakar explains, V'taymo, Shel Davar, on the next page, on page Mem Test, the first word on the page is Shel Davar. The reason is, Ki hal yonim v'hatachtonim heim shnei hafchim. Because really what's above and what's below are opposites. Right, v'lo yiskaimu ki'im al yedei eze emtsai hamitzarif u'mechaber shnei chalakim hafchim. Right, and the only way that what happens in the upper world can work with what happens in the lower worlds is if you have something to join them together. And what is that? That is a person. V'zehu ha'adam. Sheyesh bo chelek gashmi v'chelek ruchni. Because man has a physical aspect, and he has a ruchnius aspect. He has a spiritual aspect. Right? Chelek Eloha mimal. Right? The peace of Hashem that from above. V'ashe'eros ha'chelek ha'ruchni tali b'kabbalas ha'Torah. And the existence of the spiritual aspect is reliant on the acceptance of the Torah. Sharei ha'akum asher lo naga aleim or ha'Torah. So, this is not the most PC line, but non-Jews that don't have a touch of that don't experience the light of the Torah are like animals. Now, I would temper that by saying, but perhaps non-Jews, they do have some amount, right? They do experience some amount of the Torah, right? There is the light of the Torah does affect them. Okay, so if the life of the Torah is affecting them, then they might not be considered behemos v'chayus haaretz. So im kein, therefore, ilu lo kibli Yisrael ha-Torah, if the Jews would not accept the Torah, lo haya kan shum emtzai l'chabesh nehaktzavos, there wouldn't be anything to join the two things together. V'afchim v'haya hechrech notim l'hachzer olam tov avo. And if that would be the case, if you would have the heavens and the earth work functioning, and there wouldn't be anything to join them together, so then everything would go back to being tov avo. So then everything would go back to being a mixture, as they say in Back to the Future, right? It would result in the disruption of the time space continuum, which would lead to a chain reaction, which ultimately would result in the destroying of the entire universe, right? Okay. And then don't say that, well, what about the time from before the Torah, the Kli Yakar continues? Well, what about before Matan Torah? How was the world able to exist before Matan Torah? He goes on to say, but no, because the light of the Torah and the importance of the Torah already had its impact already from the time of creation, even though the technical giving of the Torah wasn't going to be for later. Okay, so I guess that will conclude our Mefarshim day in terms of Bereishis. Again, we did the Ramban on the eating of the meat, that man and animal were considered distinct, but man did not have full dominion in terms of his eating of the animal until after the period of Noah. Then we have the Kli Yakar explaining why the world had to why did we have to wait for the world to exist? Why was everything contingent on the Torah being given in order for the world to exist? So he says, because they were distinct entities. There's the spiritual aspect, the physical aspect, and the only thing that merges them together is the giving of the Torah. And that's why if the Torah wouldn't be given, so then the world would cease to exist. Okay, we'll stop here.